Morning.
Morning.
We are on page Kuf Ayin Dalet, the paragraph on the left column. How good and sweet it would be at least to say once a week, Seder HaVidui Baruka, to say the Vidui at length, Vahashka Kol Prote Chaton Vavainis, and to mention all the details of his sins, the Vizay Yitin Aliba Lashem Medarkai, and that he will put to his heart that he's got to do tshuva. V'yash B'diba Tailus Gadol. Speaking it out is a big benefit with its funei hasoidus, bring to hidden secrets with tarp pagam ha'oisius ramidus, to purify the what he did at pagam. Pagam is a
blemish,
maybe, and the oisius and the letters and the midas. Uvechem advarim shenoy da'avas Hashem to ratzel lezakas es Yisrael, that we can see the love of Hashem that he wanted to. Give a kali so schusim shemeshulshem mitzvada is a shechata by being mitzvada what he sins mitzvah deraisa makai mitzvah deraisa but not l'slachatayv he's mitzvada he gets the mitzvah deraisa he gets paid for it klar ein chayk masuk mizad there's no sweeter cheek than that roy liyiri Hashem b'choshvei shemayim it is appropriate for people who fear Hashem and think about His name leishem badat kapam b'pam to be alone once in a while. Lying koprati avidu achas laachas to go through the vidui one by one. Aleizim em tarach tikkun. Which one does he have to correct? Aleizim em tarach lizar. Which one does he have to be careful in? V'limag nushach yaday and to pull back. Lasas geder usyag to make a fence. Mishmeres l'mishmeres and a watch for a watch. Kachal yasa. This is what he should do. V'yirshim miksam. He should write it down. Yikabel alatzmi should be mekabel himself. Lishmer l'kayim b'chol tekev. Keep it with all its strength, lo yaver, and he shouldn't transgress. For us, yikrab loymer avidoi kedas malasas. Then afterwards, he can say vidoi, exactly what he's supposed to do. But yishpach sicha and pour out his thought, his words, yidroi slicha, and beg Hashem for forgiveness. For us, vada yas apila malam, he'll make fruit up there. Benir tzloy lechaper olav, be appeased to forgive from him. Kochi yas eish al chafetz chayim. This is what a person who wants life should do. A right to b'tshuva, b'ashehu Yehudi, b'right to melech b'derech taiva, is a yid, and he wants to go in a good way. Kachi achayva, b'zeh yitzke b'yirish taiva v'racha, l'aylam abba, he can be zaycha and inherit good and blessing for aylam abba. B'hi nayam, it should be the nayam is sweet, meaning nayam Hashem alakein, Hashem should be nice to us, the imus. I guess what would be the English word for the emus?
Pleasant.
A person should say Vinayam before he does anything good. This is our consolation during our poverty, before he does or says anything good, mitzvah. Say the pasuk of Vinayam. We're very poor. We don't know the proper kavanas. Every word and every action have secrets, the high secrets. Razin the razin, and secrets of secrets. And Hashem builds His second floor. I mean, we have no idea the depth of every word of Torah, of every word of tefillah, of every good word we say, and every good deed that we do. And even the Chachamim, they know Kabbalah. They can't reach a thousandth of what's hidden in the wisdom. Koshkin anan yasmi the yasmi, orphans of orphans. Chain on the Yadim Klum, of Dwarim Kibshatim, we know it simply. This is our consolation. I should give the Lord of Hussein's Zuchain and Abacha. Our Rebbeim informed us. That the mitzvahs work as a tgula, meaning as a, I don't know exactly what he means. Basically, what he means to say is that by doing it, even we don't do it with all the kavanas in the depth, but it works anyway. Va'isis reishim l'mala. Afshinas is built at kavana prati, even though it's missing the specific kavana. Rak shacham b'kvala sh'aita ma'isil l'kayim l'mitzis l'kav. As long as you think I'm doing it to be m'kayim the mitzvah of my shkad, v'latis nachasruach l'vanav, and to make a nachasruach is pleasant, what word is nachasruach? To give satisfaction, I like that. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. Yad Yad the Mashal No Azev Lekosim Beis Tavos Yishli Beis Naray. I write a good Mashal on this, deep in my other safer. It is 6 o'clock, and we are up to your testament, Aleph. We just brought Reb Papa's opinion that Reb Shimon only argues in the case when the person did Yibum, Shimon did Yibum before Levi was born. But if Levi was born prior to Shimon doing Yibum, then it would be Eishes Achim Shlohei Bei Lamai, which disagreed with Reb Ashiya, who said that Reb Shimon argues in both cases, and even if Levi was born prior to Shimon doing Yibum, but since Zika Kiknusa, by one brother, when Reuben dies, as if she married Shimon already, biblically, and therefore when Levi is born, he really finds her as Shimon's wife, not as Reuben's wife. That's what we said, two opinions, Reb Ashiya and Reb Papa. So we are up to 7 lines from the bottom of your testament, Aleph. Tanya Kavasa de Reb Papa, Chufta de Reb Ashiya. We have a brisa that's like Reb Papa, and it slugs up Reb Ashiya, and we have to give time for the brisa to develop. Shnei Achim by Lamechad. You have two brothers living in the same time, and one of them died without children. So, okay, so we have Reuben and Shimon, and Reuben died without children. And Shimon was planning to do a mimer. Mimer is that rabbinic, according to some, biblical, according to others, kedushin that you do in a yavama, that one does in a yavama. Right? And the question is, to what strength it has. That was the Gemara's kasha before. And the Gemara answered that it says Mimer only to food Beis Shammai, who says Mimer works biblically, so it's saying that Mimer only works rabbinically. Shimon was planning to make Mimer, but he didn't get around to it. Now, the Gemara is going to ask later on, what do we have to know his plans for? Just say he didn't make Mimer. Why do I care whether he planned or didn't plan? The Gemara is going to go to that later. Achanei Leach. Levi was born before Shimon did anything. Umeis, and then Shimon died. So Reuben died, Shimon did nothing, and then Shimon died. Levi was born, and then Shimon died. Now, Harishayni Yaitim Shimeis Zachos Leibar Lamai. Reuben's wife, Levi, is an erva. She's a total erva. Because she is Reuben's wife. Right? Shimon never did Yibum. Shimon never did anything. So Reuben died. Levi was born. To Reuben's wife, it's an Eishes Achim Shlohei Bei Lamai. According to everybody. Well, we'll see according to Reb Ashiya in a minute. This is the Tanna Kamma speaking, the Rabbana speaking. There's no Ziki Kiknusa. Reuben died. Shimon didn't do anything. Shimon died. They're two separate brothers. Levi has an Erev in one and not an Erev in the other. It's a simple game. So the halacha is, this is not Reb Shimon talking. Reuben's wife is a typical Eishes Achim Shlohei Bei Lamai. Ushniya and Shimon's wife, Eichel Latzis Lai Mishavema. Right? Because they're not co-wives at all. Reuben died. And then Shimon died. Shimon never did anything to Reuben's wife. So why in the world are Reuben's wife and Shimon's wife co-wives? They're not co-wives. Rashi. Lamed Hasheni. Kamam Parach Lamed Lu L'Misni Amad V'Hispik. Later on we will ask, why does it have to say he got up and didn't do Mimer? What do I have to know whether he planned it or didn't plan it? Now, this, if you hold Yad Zika rabbinically, this is a problem. The Gemara asked this on Yud Chesem at Aleph, and answered it's going like Rameir holds Ein Zika. That's where the Gemara answered, going like Remeir, who holds ain't Zika. So therefore, forget about Zika. Biblical, there's no rabbinic law. Reuben died. Shimon didn't do a thing. Levi is born. Shimon died. Shimon's wife is a regular Yavama to Levi. Reuben's wife is an ancient Zalkar Shalai by Lamai. They're not related to each other at all. They're not co-wives in any way. That's case one. Asaba Mimer. What if Shimon did make a Mimer? Okay, Reuben died. Shimon made a Mimer, which is rabbinic. According to Rabbanu. The Yachekach Noed Vedach. And then Levi was born. Okay, so Reuben died. Shimon made a Mimer. He didn't do Yibum, but he made a Mimer. Then Levi was born. Aisha Noed Vedach. The Yachekach Asaba Mimer. Or Levi was born. And then Shimon made the Mimer. Umeis, and then Shimon died. Now, Mimer is rabbinic. So biblically speaking, Shimon did nothing. He did nothing. Reuben's wife is an Erva. Shimon's wife is not a co-wife biblically. Shimon did nothing. Mimer means nothing biblically. According to the Tanakam, Rabbana. So therefore, really it should be the exact same halacha as before. Reuben and Shimon's wife have nothing to do with each other. I'm talking about biblically. Biblically, Reuben and Shimon's wife have nothing to do with each other. Reuben's wife is an ancient Zachor slave by Lamai, and Shimon's wife is eligible for Yibam. Levi was born before Shimon died. But because Mimer is rabbinic, rabbinically, they now became co-wives. Mimer created a situation where Reuben's wife and Shimon's wife are somewhat co-wives. So therefore, because of this rabbinic Mimer, we can't allow Yibam. Because rabbinically, Shimon's wife and Reuben's wife are co-wives, so she's a Tzaras Erva. Biblically speaking, they have zero to do with each other. There was no Yibam. So Reuben's wife is Reuben's wife, and Shimon's wife is Shimon's wife. But Mimer created a rabbinic co-wife. And since it's a rabbinic co-wife, the halacha is, she's an erva. And this chalitza not yibum because biblically she needs it. Rabbinically we don't allow yibum, so it's chalitza v'lo misabemes. Rashi asaba mimer chalitza. Do it allum mimer l'shvir shavus tzaras erva. Mimer does not make her a biblical tzaras erva l'meipik b'loy klum that she should be able to go completely free. She's because biblically they have nothing to do with each other. That's the Rabbanan speaking. Shimon Aymer, Shimon says, V'yasa chalitzase shel achas mehem, poiteres tzarasa. Now the Gemara is going to explain it in a moment. But he says, no. He either gives tzbiyah or chalitza to one of the two, and that absolves the other.
Which case is going
on? He's going in the case, Reuben died, Shimon did Mimer.
Right.
What?
Nothing or Mimer. In the first case,
it's
nothing.
We're going on the second case, where there was Mimer. But the first case was nothing. Second case was Mimer. Because Rabbanan said, no Yibum, only Chalitza. To one of them. Shimon said, you can do Bia or Chalitza to one of them. You're allowed to do Yibum to one of them. And it will absolve the other one. And he explains himself. And I'm going to speak it out outside, and then we'll do it on the other. It's only if you do Bia or Chalitza to Shimon's wife. And let me explain. Reuben died. Shimon did Mimer. Levi is born.
After
Mimer. That's what the Gemara is going to explain later. If Shimon's only going on that case. Reuben died. Shimon did Mimer. Levi was born. Reb Shimon says, I don't know how Mimer works. Mimer might be biblical. Mimer might be nothing. He doesn't have Drabbanan's Mimer rabbinic. It's either all or nothing. So now Shimon did Mimer. If it's all, Reuben, Shimon did Mimer before Levi was born. I want to make that clear. Shimon did Mimer before Levi was born. So again, let's have the case straight. Reuben died, Shimon did Mimer. Levi is born. Shimon dies. Now, if Mimer works biblically, Shimon did Yibum, before Levi was born. Maimer and Yibum are synonymous, if it works biblically. Therefore, when Levi was born, she was already Mr. Shimon. So he can do Yibum to Shimon's wife. He's not a Tzaris Erva, there's no Erva. If Maimer doesn't work, if Maimer works, he can do it to either one. But if Maimer doesn't work, which Reb Shimon is not sure, so if Maimer doesn't work, then Reuben's wife is an Erva, and Shimon's wife is totally permissible. Because there's no rabbinic Maimer. Either it's all or nothing. If Maimer didn't work, so Levi was born after Reuben died. So she is Eishes Hakam Shleih by Loma. And Shimon's wife is not a co-wife at all. So therefore, we tell Levi, you have a choice. You can be Miyabim, Shimon's wife. You can give Chalitza to Shimon's wife. And that will absolve Reuben's wife, Mamanavshach. If she's not an Erva, so you did Yibum to one of the two wives. If she is an Erva, she's not eligible, so you're marrying Shimon's wife, or you're doing Chalitza to Shimon's wife. Giving Chalitza to Reuben's wife won't absolve Shimon's wife, because maybe Maimer doesn't work. And if Maimer doesn't work, then Shimon's wife is not a co-wife. So if Shimon is allowing Yibum or Chalitza to Shimon's wife, because if she's a co-wife, then there's no Erva. And if she's not a co-wife, then she's for sure no Erva. She's Shimon's wife. So that's what the Gemara explains. Chalas lebalas Maimer, loy nifter etzeras. If he gave Chalitza to the one who got Maimer, that wouldn't work, because we don't know if Maimer works. But if you give Chalitza or Yibum to Shimon's wife, Reuben's wife is free. Either she's free because she's an Erva, or she's free because she's a co-wife, and you did Yibum or Chalitza to one of the two wives. So the option of Yibum or Chalitza is to one of the two. The other one goes free, because she's an Erva, or she's a co-wife. We don't know. That's the suffix if Maimer works or Maimer doesn't work. Whereas Rabbanan had Maimer be rabbinic. And therefore they said the second one can't have Yibum, because she's really a rabbinic Tzaris Erva. Rabbanan don't hold that the Erva goes off. Reb Shimon holds that Maimer, before Levi is born, removes the Erva, if it works. They do Yibum or Chalitza to Shimon's wife. Rashi. It's going in the case we made a Maimer, and then Levi was born. And he holds, Maimer Safik Kaina, Safik Eda Kaina. Either works completely or doesn't work at all. As he explains, that which we say the Bior and the Chalitza of one of them, that's if you do Chalitza or Yibum to Shimon's wife. For Rishayin the Peturim and Manavshach. Therefore, Reuben's wife is Pater, no matter which way you look at it. E Maimer Kani, had Maimer made her biblically Shimon's wife, Havela Yibum and Lubasai Zayla. So it's like Shimon did Yibum and then Levi was born. Afilu Rishayin the Mutaris. Theoretically, he could have done Yibum even to Reuben's wife, because Reb Shimon. By doing Chalitza or Yibum to Shimon's wife, Reuben's wife becomes Pater. Because Maimer makes as if Shimon married her. She belongs to Shimon. And if Maimer doesn't work, so then his Yibum to the second one is great. Shimon's wife is mutter to him. She's not a co-wife of Reuben's wife. That's if you do Yibum or Chalitza to Shimon's wife. So you covered your bases. If Reuben's wife is Shimon's wife, so then you did Chalitza or Yibum to Shimon's wife, she's free because you only do Yibum or Chalitza to one of the wives. If Reuben's wife is not Shimon's wife, she's no co-wife to Shimon at all, Shimon's wife at all, so then you do Yibum or Chalitza to Shimon's wife. Why not? She is an Eishes Hakam, that's a regular Yibum case. But if you did Chalitza to Reuben's wife, that would not necessarily absolve Shimon's wife. The Duma Maimer Loikani. Because maybe Maimer didn't work. So Reuben's wife was an erva. The Chalitza say in the Chalitza. Chalitza was a waste of time. Bachim Mefarsh, the commander, Gemara will explain it. I hope I'm explaining myself well enough.
So she, according to Reuben,
so either it's all or nothing. If it's all, they're two wives of one husband. You do Chalitza Yibum to one, and the pot is the other. If it's nothing, then you one is an erva, and the other is not affected at all. They do Chalitza Yibum. So you have to do Chalitza Yibum to the to Shimon's real wife. Not to the mimer, not to the lady he picked up with a mimer. That's Reb Shimon's opinion. Now we move on to the next case in the Braisa. Kansa umeis. Reuben Shimon did yibum. Reuben died. Shimon did yibum. V'yakach na'el doyach. And then Levi was born. Oi. V'noyel doyach. V'yakach kansa umeis. Or, Levi was born and then Shimon did yibum. Again, Reuben died. Shimon did Yibum. Either Levi was born before or after the Yibum. Shneim Pturas Min HaChalitza Min HaYibum. They're both Pater from Chalitza and Yibum. This is Rabbanan Shita. This is Eish HaSachem Shlohei by Lama and Hitzara. Because according to the Rabbanan, I don't care that Shimon did Yibum. This is Reuben's wife. It will always remain Reuben's wife. And therefore she's always an Erva. And Shimon's wife, who's a co-wife, is a Tzara Erva. I don't care whether Levi was born before or after. To the Rabbanan, Reuben's wife will always remain an erva. I don't say once Shimon did Yibum, she's Shimon's wife. No, she's always an erva. That's this case. Kuntz of Anayil Le'ach, V'yachek Achmeis. What happens if Shimon did Yibum and then Levi was born? And then he died. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the previous case. I mistranslated it. That's why it's different. Let's go back. Kansul Meis, V'yakach Neid Loyach. Shimon did Yibum and died. Shimon died. And then Levi was born after Shimon's death. Reuben died. Shimon died. Shimon did Yibum. And then Shimon died. And then Levi was born. Or, Shimon, Reuben died, Shimon did Yibum, I'm sorry, Reuben died, Levi was born, and then Shimon did Yibum. So in these two cases, Levi's birth, right? No. In the first case, Levi never met Shimon either. In the first case, Reuben died, Shimon died, then Levi was born. They're both Eish HaSachem Shlohei B'Lamai. In the second case, Reuben died, Levi was born, then Shimon did Yibum. In that case, Rabbanan says Eish HaSachem Shlohei B'Lamai. Levi was born, Reuben's wife is an erva. The third case is Shimon did Yibum and then Levi was born. We have three cases. One case is Levi is born after Reuben and Shimon died. One case, Levi is born in between Reuben and then Shimon doing Yibum. And one case is Levi born after Shimon did Yibum. Three separate cases. I hope I'm explaining myself. First case is he never met Reuben, he never met Shimon. Second case is he met Shimon prior to Shimon doing Yibum. He met Reuben's wife as Reuben's wife, and then Shimon did Yibum, and then Shimon died. The third case is, he was born after Shimon did Yibum. But Shimon is still alive. As opposed to case number one, when Shimon died before Levi was born. Let's read it again. Kansu mates, Shimon did Yibum and died. V'yachach na'leach. Levi is born after both Reuben and Shimon died. Aishan na'leach. V'yachach kansu mates. Or, Reuben died. Levi was born, then Shimon did Yibum. Shteim Peturas Min HaChalitza Min HaYibum. This is a case of Tzaras Erva, because Reuben's wife is an Erva, and Shimon's wife, at best, is a Tzaras Erva, and therefore, they're both Patim Chalitza Yibum. Kansa V'Noyel V'Yach. V'Yach HaKach Meis. What happens if Shimon did Yibum? And then Levi was born. And then Shimon died. Tanakama says, Shteim Pturis Menachalitza Menayibum. It's still Eishes Zachar Shleim by Lamai. Reuven's wife will always be an Eishes Zachar Shleim by Lamai. I don't care that Shimon married her. She was Reuven's wife, and Levi to her is an Erva. Therefore, there's Erva and Saris Erva, the Rira Meir. Shimon Omer, Hayul Baal Matzah Beheter. Since when Levi was born, she was already Shimon's wife. The Loy Amdal of Shachas Beister, he never knew her as Reuven's wife. Meyabim Leizim Mem Sheirza, Achaylus Leizim Mem Sheirza. Now, if you notice, the Brisa split. There were three cases. The Brisa put two of them together and one of them separately. If Rav Ishi is right, the two last cases should be put together. Again, let's follow the cases. First case, Reuven died, Shimon died, Levi was born. There's no argument in that case. Levi was born, he didn't know Reuven, he didn't know Shimon, he never met them in the same world. They're both of their wives, the Eishes Zachar Shleim by Lamai. Nobody argues on that. By the time Levi was born, both of his brothers had died. He never knew either of them. They're both Eishes Zachar Shleim by Lamai. There's no argument in that case. Now, the next two cases are Reuven died, Levi was born, Shimon did Yibum. Reuven died, Shimon did Yibum, and Levi was born. If Rav Shimon argues on both, those two cases should have been lumped together. And Rav Meir say his halacha, and Rav Shimon argue. That's not the way the Braisa worded it. The Braisa put the case of Levi being born in one set, and then the next set had Yibum and then the birth of Levi. Why did the Braisa split these two cases if Rav Shimon argues them both? I hope I'm explaining myself. Why did the Braisa split case two and three? If Rav Shimon argues them both, case one should have been a case by itself. Case two and three should have been together. Rav Meir is saying this way, and Rav Shimon is saying the other way. The Braisa doesn't do that. The Braisa puts case one and two together and three separate, and has Rav Shimon arguing on three. Doesn't that prove that he agrees that if Levi was born before Shimon's Yibum, it's Usher, not like Rav Ishiya? That's what the Gemara is trying to prove. Let's look at the cases again. Case one, we're going back three lines from the top. Kansul Meis. What? There's three cases here. That's the first case. I don't know why you're calling it the third case. It's the first case. Let's go back. Three lines in the top. There's three cases in this Braisa now. Kansul Meis, it's the third case in a Braisa, but it's the first case of this sequence. Kansul Meis, Reuven died, Shimon did Yibum, and then Shimon died. Now in that case, there's no argument. According to anybody, Levi was born after Shimon died, after Reuven died. It's a real, perfect Eishes Zachar Shleim by Lamai. That's no argument. Now let's go to the second case. Noel Leach, Levi was born, V'yachakav Kansa Meis. Then Shimon did Yibum and died. Now according to Rav Ishiya, Rav Shimon would argue in that case. According to Rav Papa, he would not argue in that case. Levi was born prior to Shimon's Yibum. Rav Ishiya would say, it doesn't make a difference, Ziki Kiknusa. Rav Papa would say, no, in that case, Rav Shimon agreed. But this is lumped together with the previous case. And it says, Shtei Peturis Menachalitza Menayibum, and you don't hear Rav Shimon talking. Then the Braisa says the next case. Kansa Benod Layach V'yach Kachmeis. If Shimon did Yibum and then Levi was born, Shtei Peturis Menachalitza Menayibum Divir Remeir. Remeir holds it's always Aser. Rav Shimon Eimer, no, since he was born and she was Mrs. Shimon, she's Mutter. He didn't argue in the placement of the cases. If he would be arguing in the case before, the first case should have been by itself, and two and three should have been together. You put one and two together, and you put three separately. Dr. Gemara, Habama de Sefer Lamang Tanila. What is this extra case at the end of Shimon doing Yibum first? No, we're going back on case three. This last case, that Shimon did Yibum first, that's listed separately. Why are we listing it separately? Are we listing it separately to tell me a Chiddush in Remeir? Mikni. According to Remeir, 1, 2, and 3 have the same halacha. Put them together. Why are you separating the last case? Why aren't you putting all three cases together? Or at least 2 and 3 together? You put 1 and 2 and then 3. Why? According to Remeir, they're all the same. Elav Reb Shimon. You separated because of Reb Shimon. To tell me he only argues in case 3 and doesn't argue in case 2. So we prove Rapapa right. By the way the Bryce has set up the cases, we have three cases. In one, everybody agrees it's Eitz Yisrael Shalom B'Lomai. Then there's 2 and 3. According to Aishia, 2 and 3 are the same. Because when Reuven dies and Shimon is alive, it becomes Shimon's wife, Hatziki Kiknusa. Reb Shimon would argue. So put 2 and 3 together and have the Machlokes from Meir and Reb Shimon. You don't do that. You put 2 separately and don't say a word about Reb Shimon. Then you say 3 and you bring Meir and Reb Shimon. Why'd you separate 3 from 2? According to Reb Aishai, there's no difference. Who cares when Levi was born? Reuven died. Shimon did Yibum. I don't care if Levi was born before or after. Ziki Kiknusa. By separating the two cases, the Bryce is saying, no. In case number 2, which is like 1, there's no argument. In case number 3, is when Reb Shimon argues, which is like Reb Papa. That doesn't say Ziki Kiknusa. He says Reb Shimon is only arguing if Shimon actually did Yibum, and therefore it's Shimon's wife. Let's do Rashi. Dr. Asher, Shinaid Leach, Avalei Nailin and Besaif Yavam. That would be Nailin and Besaif Yavam. Shnei Beturis, Paulei Paulei Reb Shimon, Kerep Papa. Notice, Reb Shimon doesn't argue in this case. Hak Bava to say for Yibum Losaif Nailin. The third case, the Mank Tani Lam. Why did you put it separately? Why did you learn it as a separate case? Who are you trying to prove? What are you trying to prove by that? You didn't mix 3 and 2. To tell me that he holds it off, and not to tell me that Reb Shimon is only arguing in 3. Mix all 3 cases. Come to Meisach Achnei Leach. Shimon did Yibum, then Levi is born. Shinoi Leach Lachak Kansameis. Levi is born and then Shimon did Yibum. Aisha Kansameis Leach. Or Shimon did Yibum and then Levi was born. Viachach Meis Shem Beturis. It's according to a mayor. There's no difference case 1, 2, and 3. Elma de Paginu, since you're separating 3 from 2, Shmami Namishim the Ayur Barim Shimon, he Dashmina. The Bahab Huda Pali. He's only arguing in case 3 from the Bob Matsim Heter. Abba Bereshimaita. By separating 3 from 2, you're telling me obviously something is different about 3. It's not different to Remeir, must be different to Reb Shimon. It's a Raya that Reb Shimon only argues in case 3 because he mannered Mr. Shimon. And there's no Ziki Kiknusa, not like Reb Aishia, but like Reb Abba. Again, if they would all been put together, and if Shimon argues at the end, I would have said he argues in case 2 also. By the Bryces separating case 2 and 3. Going to a mayor, there's no reason to separate the two cases. Why is the Brisa putting 2 together with 1 and 3 separate? To put 2 and 3 together. The answer is because Shimon only argues on 3 and not on 2. Am I explaining myself? Dr. Gemara Amar. Now we're going to go into the Brisa, just to understand it. The case was, first case in a Brisa. Reuben died, Shimon was planning to do Maimer, and never did Maimer. And then he died. What do I care what his plans were? Why is that pertinent to the case? What do I care if he planned to do Maimer, he didn't plan to do Maimer? He didn't do Maimer. Reuben died, Shimon didn't do Maimer, and then Shimon died. What do I have to know whether Shimon was planning or not? I'm not saying he lies his Maimer be eventi. Well, his big lies his Maimer be eventi, and he didn't, wasn't able to complete it. Achenov loyach. Umeis. They're not co-wives. There was no mimer. There was nothing to make them together. And therefore, the second one is a regular yavama. My amma to my lehispik. What does the price to mean? He wanted to and didn't get around to it. If he did it, he did it. If he didn't do it, he didn't do it. He wanted to do mimer. Who cares what he wanted? Zakti Gemara. The answer is as follows. Let me explain this. There's a machloikis tanoim. Now look at this follows. Reuven wants to marry a girl. The girl has to accept to willingly accept the kedushin. Or if she's a katana, her father can accept it for her. Well, Reuven cannot walk over to a girl and say, "Hurry up, kedushin, please," so they get lost. Who are you? I'm not willing to get married to you. Kedushin needs the acquiescence, the agreement of the woman involved. Yibum is not that way. Theoretically, Reuven can walk to Leah's house and say, "I'm being miyabim you whether you like it or not." And he can be miyabim her against her will. And it works. At least for the mitzvah deraisa of Yibum, it works. Yibum can be done without the agreement of the woman. Kedushin needs the agreement of the woman. The Rabbanim came and instituted Maimer. They said Maimer is a rabbinic connection between the Yavam and the Yavama. Can Maimer be done against the will of the woman? Now Maimer is a form of Kedushin, rabbinic, but it's also step one rabbinically in the act of Yibum. Did they give it the properties of Kedushin, or did they give it the properties of Yibum? That's the machloikis.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Can you just remind me what the actual act itself of Maimer is? Is it
Maimer is walking over to the lady and saying, I am doing Maimer in you for you're my Yavama. I am now doing a rabbinic Maimer to you, according if you hold Maimer as rabbinic, and now you are it creates a rabbinic bond between him and her.
And what you're saying is she could at this point turn
he
her
now
back
would have to give her a get besides giving her chalitza. He would have, if he decided to change his mind, he would have to write her a divorce for his rabbinic kedushin and then do chalitza for his biblical bond.
No, I was asking, is if Maimer requires consent, then what does
she respond?
If Maimer requires her consent, unlike,
yes.
then what does she, if she stays silent, what is the answer? If she turns her back on him, what happens here? Like,
Maimer requires her consent and he did it without her consent, he didn't do Maimer. He didn't do it.
And if she was silent?
Right, I didn't spend enough time on this, maybe I should. Let's say Reuben dies and there's five brothers or two brothers. Right, Shimon and Levi. And Levi goes and does Maimer. Shimon can no longer be the one that does Yibum. Rabbinically, by Levi doing Maimer, he has excluded Shimon from the issue now. Shimon is no longer eligible for Yibum because Levi, quote-unquote, designated her for himself. But the Rabbanan say, sorry, Shimon, Levi got first. Now, he didn't do Yibum, but he did Maimer, and that designates him as the one who's going to do Yibum. The same thing is true if Reuben dies and leaves two wives. And one of the brothers does a Maimer to one of the women. All other men and women are no longer allowed to do Yibum. The ones that have to do this are now the man who did the Maimer and the woman who received the Maimer. rabbinically. Now, Reuven did die, and Shimon did mimer against the woman's will. Is that meaningful? Does that mean anything? If you say yes, all the halachas of mimer would kick in. He can no longer just do chalitza. No other brother can get involved. Mimer was done. But if you say that a mimer against her will doesn't count, so then it's meaningless. Another brother can get involved. He can just do chalitza. There was no mimer. That's the machlokes tanoim. The question was, when they built institution of mimer, they had two biblical prototypes, if that's the word, two biblical choices. One is kedushin, which requires the woman's agreement, and mimer has similarities to kedushin. And one is yibum, which doesn't require the woman's agreement, and mimer is built on building to yibum. So what properties did they give it? Why do they institute it? If I remember correctly, it's because they don't want a relationship to go from 0 to 100. Here's a man, not related at all to this woman, I mean, she is his sister-in-law, and the first thing he does is live with her.
That's what you hold it.
But Ziki Kiknusa is not physical act. They didn't want the first thing to be living together. They wanted a build up.
If you don't think Kiknusa, you're not doing anything else with her.
Well, sooner or later you're going to live with her.
Yeah, I'm saying you're going to live with her.
Again, we don't hold Ziki Kiknusa, so let's leave Ziki Kiknusa alone. So what the Gemara is answering is as follows. When it said he wanted to do mimer and didn't, it meant he didn't do it the right way. He did a mimer, but he didn't meet the laws of mimer. She didn't agree. That's what it means. Zok the Gemara. Ela amid midaita. He wanted her to agree. But with hispid midaita, he wasn't able to accomplish that. Ela bal karcha. The Braita is telling you this to teach you another halacha. He did mimer, but he didn't do mimer the way it was supposed to be done. With her agreement, he did it against her will. Would you like Rebbe? Not like Rebbe, who says it doesn't make a difference. The Tanya. One who does a mimer nizivama against her will. Rebbe Aymer Kana, the Chacham and Mimer Loi Kana. Rebbe says it works, the Chacham say it doesn't work. My time with the Rebbe, Gomer Mibia Diyavama. He says it's compared to living with her. Ma Bia Diyavama Balkarka. A person can force himself on his Yavama. Av kedushin the yavama, which mimer is, balkarka can be done against the will. Rabban and Gavri, be kedushin the alma. They compare it to a regular kedushin. Ma kedushin the alma midaita. Regular kedushin needs the woman's acquiescence. Av kedushin the yavama midaita. But my kamiflagi, my sabr mili the yavama mimili the yavama havelele melef. It makes sense to say that the rabbanim would build their rabbinic mimer, which is on Yavama, similar to the biblical way of acquiring Yavama. And the other Mandemus says, no. It makes sense that they would build it on Kedushin because they would want it to have a more similarity to the act of Kedushin. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Ella Balkarka, Kamash Mulan, the Maimer Balkarka, Bafilu Lemictus like honey, works for nothing. And it's not considered a rabbinical co-wife. The mimer is worthless. Via the Yavama, Amina Beparakama, we learned in the first parak, Yibma Balkarka, that a person can do Yibma against her will, then Ba'ala Avila Ba'inus, Kana. If he comes at her, even Ba'inus, he is kind to her. Kedushin the Alma, says V'holcha V'haisa Lish Achar, V'haisa means Midaita Mashma. She went and got married to somebody else. Seems to indicate that there was an agreement there. You can't force a woman to marry you. She has to agree. Okay, so that explains that part of the Braisa. When the Braisa said he planned to do a mimer and didn't do it, it doesn't mean that he didn't do anything. He planned to do it the right way and did it the wrong way. And the Chiddush is that it's meaningless. It doesn't have any rabbinic consequences. Because mimer balkarka, according to our Braisa, it's zero. Not like Rebbe, who says that mimer can work balkarka, just like Yibum can work balkarka. Zog the Gemara weiter. We're going to the next part of the Braisa. Also, a mimer, that was the next case in the Braisa. He made a mimer. Viachach nor leach, and then Levi was born. Oishenor leach, vachach also a mimer. Or Levi was born, and then he did a mimer. Umeis, Tanakama holds. Veshayne yaitzim shemeis zachem shlohei balomai. Remember, the Tanakama is of the opinion. Eishes zachem shlohei balomai can never be removed. Ushniya kolesis loy misabemis.
Rabbi Magretin?
Yes.
I'm just curious, if there was only, after Reuven died, there was only Shimon, he still is required by Abana to do Mimer, right?
I don't know if he's required, it's suggested. I don't know if Mimer is a requirement or suggestion.
Okay, and if he's the only brother and he tells her we're doing Mimer, can she say no to him?
Absolutely.
And then what? He can do Yibum against her will. Why can she say
right.
Mimer no?
You're right. He can, but he can't do Mimer.
Why?
Because Mimer is a Kedushin process, rabbinically, and Kedushin needs a woman's agreement.
But he can step over that agreement, this Mimer, and go straight to Yibum then, right?
Don't dare him. See if you can get into my house and force yourself on me.
Uh-huh. Okay, thank you.
She doesn't want to marry him. She doesn't want Yibum. She's not interested in him. He comes over and wants to do Mimer. She says, get lost. So now he has a choice. He can either do Chalitza, or he can break into her house and do Yibum.
Goes to the standstill.
What?
So it's a standstill, and that's all there is to it, and eventually,
they'll have to figure it out.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Exactly. Kedushin can never be done by Karka, correct? Yes.
Why?
It's a Torah rule, a Yibma. The Torah, see, to put it in perspective, the Torah said to the brother of the deceased, you have a mitzvah to take your brother's wife. She now is under your control to decide if you want to take her. She agreed to marry the first brother. Included in that agreement is all subsequent consequences. One of them is Yibum. She loses the choice. Now again, I want to mention this. She can go to Bezin and tell Bezin why she doesn't want Yibum, and Bezin can get involved. But without Bezin stopping him, how can Bezin stop him? She has a right. We learn out from a pasuk. She can complain to Bezin, and Bezin will try to persuade him to do Chalitza. They really can't force him, but they'll try. Meaning, I don't know if they can beat him, but they'll get him to do Chalitza. That's their job. Yes. If you don't mind speaking up a little bit.
We had some cases in the Marshall Rasky, right, where he's not allowed to divorce. He's not allowed to divorce her at all.
There's no case that he can't divorce her. Case last week is he can't remarry his woman that he divorced.
Right, but also he
divorced Shamra,
right?
Right, Mighty Shamra, he stuck with her, correct. Tyra took away his option.
So,
she can say no. Yeah, in the case of Mighty Shamra, she can say, I don't want to marry him. But if he has no choice in the matter. Usually, in marriage, two people have a choice. In fact, his is more than hers. She can agree to get married, but once she's married, she has no control. Whereas he has control even afterwards. He can divorce her. Here the Torah said, you have no control. You have to marry her if she wants, and you can never divorce her.
So, if she wants,
yeah, if she wants, it's with her consent, correct. Kedushin is never... Sometimes a woman doesn't consent, but her father consented, and he has the right. So there was a consent. There was a consent.
Yeah.
Just wasn't the one we wanted. I mean, we do it. We don't care. The tyrant gave him the right. Marriage can never be done without consent. Yibum doesn't require consent. Again, the reason for that is, I mean, it sounds like harsh, but the reason is she agreed to marry her husband and all the consequences of that. One of them being that in case he dies without children, she will be subject to his brother. That's part of what a woman agrees to when she gets married. Of course she doesn't think that, but that's what the Torah includes in the institution called marriage. By the way, we're not suggesting that this happened. We're talking about biblically whether that this is evil. I don't think it makes for a very happy marriage in this case. Yes, I'm sorry.
We had a Gemara a long time ago where a person considering getting married, he should check out the brothers of the
right.
The girl and the girl should check out the brothers of the
well, it's talking about a man should check out the girl's brother.
This story reminds me of first time he did a mitzvah, and afterwards he didn't do any mitzvah, and still, as Manjeva said, gets whipped again. And we wait for the time and how much time it was to put on and take off. So, it's lashon of a mitzvah. The same chat is, the first time you did the action, it goes
from... I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch of an analogy, but... Yeah, I got it, but you know, it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's there. You're right. I mean, I'm not going to argue.
I mean, it's part of the whole ordeal.
The Gemara has many cases where husbands, the Gemara deals with this. I don't know how many times it happened, that husbands who saw that they have no children wanted to save their wives from having to be subject to their brother's decisions, used to divorce their wives. Yeah, al tanai. With all kinds of things that the divorce should kick in before they die, so they shouldn't their wife should not be subjected to their brother. A guy knows that his wife and brother don't get along, so he wants to save his wife from going through this process.
That's going against the Svara of us Mavato.
He's not being Mavato anything. He's not his wife. There's no mitzvah. He's not married, but he died. Not directly. The mitzvah didn't exist. Case of bittul mitzvah yibam is there was a mitzvah and it's not now being avoided. Here it never started. It's a different level of mevatel. The Gemara deals with these cases all the time. I don't know how prevalent it was, but there were many husbands, according to the Gemara, husbands tried to get their wife out of being subject to their brother. It was something that was done, depending on the husband. He's losing his lahakam akam shame. He's losing that. But he loves his wife. He doesn't want her to be stuck with his brother.
And
I'm saying. Oh, yeah, Yibum is Valkarka. Of course that's the problem. Yibum is Valkarka. Exactly.
I mean, you did get clean.
Right.
Just spit it out.
Exactly. Exactly. Yibum is Valkarka. I went through this a million times already. I told you I was once by a chalitza. I only watched once. Of course, a chalitza. It shouldn't happen, but it happened.
You have to look right away after 30 days?
Again, you're not allowed to do it for 3 months. You have to wait 90 days, and then, kabbalistically, it should be done as fast as possible. Halachically, there's no push. I told you. Chaim did the chalitza right after 90 days. He didn't do it. He had his son do the chalitza right after 90 days because it's closer for the neshama. But halakhically speaking, if she never plans to get married, never have to do chalitza. Just forget about it. I said, I know of a case of a woman who was in her 80s. Her husband died. And she didn't want to go to, she didn't want to do Galita. She didn't understand the whole thing. She was a little bit more modern. She didn't want to do it. And you told
why
her
can't they do
Galita?
I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Why can't they do Galita immediately?
Oh, because the Gemara is going to say the chalitza can only be done when Yibum is allowed, and we have to make sure she's not pregnant. There's a 90-day waiting period for a woman is not pregnant. I know that 90-year-old women aren't pregnant, but it doesn't make a difference. There's a loyplug. We will talk about that in the fourth pairing. And everybody's have a wonderful day. Merry Christmas tomorrow.